Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live in the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Dylan Radins on Thursday night. Now, I will say this. We all have opinions. We're all entitled to our own opinions. But offensive line is one of those things where, deep down inside, if you're not somebody who has some sort of credentials to talk offensive line, chances are you probably don't know what you're talking about. Fair?
It's just pulled a Joe Rexroad. It's pretty easy to evaluate quarterback play.
Right.
Because
wide
it's
receivers,
very
running
in your,
backs.
In your face.
Who got the most sacks?
But I can't look at somebody whose hands are in the dirt and say your hand placement is off.
Let me, I meant to look this up during the break. How many years precisely Trevor Maddich played in the NFL? And so
more than all of us combined.
So Trevor comes on the show on Friday, and I told Trevor, I was like, hey, watch Titans game. Kind of let's just get your breakdown of what you saw. And we know that right tackle's a battle between Dylan Radins and Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. Trevor played from 85 to 96. So he played 12 years in the NFL. So that's a long time. And Trevor played center, I believe, center, guard, tackle. So he played all three positions.
So
he was a first-round choice. He was a first-round choice. He played for 12 years. He's played all three positions. 148 games. He called NFL games on CBS. He's been with ESPN for forever. Trevor counts. Trevor and, oh, boy, Joe. We'll get to Joe in a second. This, now, again, we all know Trevor. We know Trevor very well. Trevor does not like to criticize. Like, that is, it's like Chris Sanders. He doesn't like to criticize.
Floyd Trevor will criticize whenever criticism is elicited.
Right, they'll criticize, but he doesn't want to.
He'll look at things through a glass half full.
So he doesn't want to criticize. He'll do it because he knows that's his job, but he doesn't like it. So when he does it, just know that he doesn't like doing it. But this was his opinion of Dylan Radins on Thursday night.
Yeah, the bad North Dakota State, the Bison, they were well represented yesterday by Dylan Radins. He started the game at right tackle and basically got tossed around. I mean, on the opening series for the Titans on third down, they left Radins on an island on the right side. He had a pass rusher coming in from lined up very wide. There was no tight end out there. There was no help. And this happens often in preseason games where coaches will leave players on an island, whether it's a pass blocker or a corner on a wide receiver, or a linebacker having to cover a running back in coverage. They'll leave him on an island to see what they can do. So Radins' first opportunity, he took his set on that guy all by himself on a big old island, and the pass rusher gave him a club with his inside arm and bent Radins over sideways away from the line of scrimmage. I mean, just about tossed him onto his ear. I'm surprised Radins didn't go down. That's where Corey Levin, I think it was Levin, bailed him out, right? But that wasn't good. That's one play. But there were so many other plays where Radins actually got his man blocked from the standpoint of the guy didn't get to the quarterback, but it looked incredibly crazy. Radins' arms and legs just spread every which way. He wasn't punching. He was catching. So he was the punching bag. He wasn't turning the defender into the punching bag. There was nothing to fear. If you're a pass rusher, when you rush Radins, because he's not going to harm you.
I heard that and I thought, wow, that is not putting words in Trevor's mouth. I interpreted that as he's not very good.
Yeah.
Now, Joe, they played it this morning on the morning show when I was off to go get some cereal this morning. I didn't have any cereal at home.
Oh, no.
And I was off to go get some cereal and I was listening to Robbie and Joe. And Joe was like, Jared said that Trevor annihilated Dylan Radins. I'm like, for Trevor, that is, knowing that he's saying it in the market with which Dylan plays, that's probably as rough as it gets. Where, again, I'm not putting words in Trevor's mouth, but it sounds like he does not think Dylan's a very good player
I've heard Trevor say negative things about a player twice. One, when Treylon Burks didn't show up in shape for the first practice, he said he was disgusted.
By the way, he was disgusted that Burks didn't go harder after the football In the end zone on Thursday night either.
Okay, which is also important
to
note.
So he clearly has a bug up his rear end on Burks.
And then this about Dylan Raidens. Because I don't think that Trevor Maddich is going to pull anything negative out of a player if it's not elicited.
And that was how long, Ian? How long was that breakdown of Trevor Maddich when I asked what was the bad with the offensive line? And he was like, and first of all, it was almost like Trevor took his hat off and was like, oh, old North Dakota State, you know, it wasn't great for old Dylan out there.
That clip was a minute and 36, which was cut down from like 2:24 or something like that.
But Trevor is long-winded, but I mean, I just...
But he had enough fuel in that fire.
I just think it's time to give up. Now, they're not going to. Mm-hmm. And I think they're not going to for a couple of reasons. One, I think if they feel like Petit Ferrer is going to win the job, they need to make him win the job. Like, they don't need to say, hey, Nick, you're in because the other guy stinks so bad. They can do that on September 10th. You know, when they're getting ready to play the Giants on the 11th, they can go up to Petit Frere and say, hey, you're starting tomorrow. Now, I would prefer do that for the whole week so we can get the week of practice in there. But they have time before they just give him the tackle job. They really need him to win the tackle job if he's capable of winning it. The other thing is, I do wonder if the Titans are going to scour the league and wait to see all the tackles that are cut when the cut-down date comes. And the last thing they want to do is signal to teams that have extra tackles, like the Colts or the Bills, who they play in week two. The last thing they want to do is signal to those teams that, hey, we got a real mess on our hands at right tackle. This guy we took in the second round, he stinks. They don't want teams to know that. Now, the teams also get the film. So it's not like what Trevor saw on Thursday.
It's not like a secret.
The other teams in the league aren't going to be able to see, and they'll probably be able to figure that out for themselves. But there's still no use in giving somebody that kind of information. So I would understand it. I think right now it is Petit Frere's job. Because I do not, or somebody else's. But it's not going to be Raidens. After what Trevor said, and the reality that they've given him every chance, and he still can't do anything against the second team of the Ravens. I mean, again, they gave Jamarco Jones every chance, or Aaron Brewer. They gave Aaron Brewer every chance to be the left guard. And Aaron Brewer supposedly has not disappointed them because, again, he keeps playing at left guard.
Loves Aaron
they
Brewer.
Love him. They don't say anything bad about him. They don't ever have somebody else in his spot. Aaron Brewer is the left guard. Right tackle? They wanted to give Raidens the job. They didn't keep David Questenberry, who, by the way, is going to be starting for the Bills. They didn't keep David Questenberry. They didn't go out and get some veteran insurance policy tackle. They didn't do any of that. The only thing they did was draft Petit Frere, who we all thought was a left tackle. And so at the end of the day, like, they love Dylan Raidens, the guy. Apparently his attitude is great. They say that his work ethic is off the charts.
Off-season Player of the Year award.
I think it's just like what Trevor said right there, which is, again, to sum it up, without trying to put words in his mouth, he's just not very good.
But I do wonder, because I know that the Titans want it to work out with him. He's your second-round pick. You're going to want that to work out. But at what point do the Titans cut their losses and say, we need to see what Nicholas Petit-Frere can do at right tackle?
Well, they're doing that now. Like, Petit Frere's playing right tackle. I mean, I wasn't at practice today, but I was at practice. I've been at practice enough.
And I know that he played a half at right tackle.
Right.
But he also played a half at left tackle.
I think they need him to win the right tackle job. Like, they want him to play
well
enough
to win the job. Is that a position that he wins in joint practices? I mean, I feel like it's going to have to be.
I would assume that one day Dylan Raidens will play with the first team. Petit Frere will play the second day. And if Petit Frere plays well enough, he may just stay there.
Yeah.
But then the question is, again, is he good enough? You know, Trevor was a lot more complimentary on Petit Frere's performance, saying, I didn't really like him on the left side, but saw some positive things on the right side than he certainly was of Raidens. And I would just say, if you, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about the audience, if you heard that cut from Trevor and you know Trevor like we know Trevor, that to me is a pretty obvious sign that he doesn't think Raidens is going to be a right tackle in the NFL. And then, to your point about the cutting losses, then do they look at Raidens and say, okay, he's just going to be a backup offensive lineman. That he's going to back up at guard. He's going to back up at tackle. He's just going to back up. and deep down inside, we hope he never has to play? Or do they look at it and say, hey, we've tried everything. Keith Carter's tried everything. Move on. Because it wouldn't be completely out of the realm of possibility. John Robinson got here, and 6 years tomorrow, they traded Doriel Green Beckham, who was a second-round pick the year before. Mm-hmm. They actually got Dennis Kelly in return. And if they could go find the next Dennis Kelly right now, that'd be great. But it just – when I heard Trevor say that –
The second-round pick in return for Dylan Radins doesn't seem like it's really in the realm of possibility.
No. Any pick in return for Dylan Radins doesn't feel like it's in the realm of possibility. But just the kind of player – like, again, Dennis Kelly had lost a numbers battle. He was going to be cut by the Eagles. Mm-hmm. So what the Eagles did was they took Doriel Green Beckham. I guess they needed a receiver. I don't know. Uh-huh. I didn't cover the Eagles. I guess they needed a receiver. So they traded for a former second-round pick in Doriel Green Beckham, and they traded Dennis Kelly. And then Dennis Kelly fit a need here as the swing tackle behind Lawan and Conklin, and it was great. And so if they can go out and – you know, find somebody who's desperate for a swing tackle that wants to give Radins a chance, then maybe they can do that and take some other positional guy that maybe they like that could be useful on the team. But I think that's the determination now of, is that more valuable to the Titans than the potential of Dylan Radins being a backup guard or tackle? Because, again, all I needed to hear from Trevor was that. Trevor texted me during the game when Julius Chestnut fumbled the ball. And he was telling me about how the offensive line helped cause the fumble. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of thought, like, okay. But I didn't really think much of it. And then Vrabel, in his press conference the next day, talked about how, while it is Julius Chestnut's fault that he fumbled the ball, it is also the offensive line hurt the situation. I was like, ah. Trevor knew what he was talking about. And Trevor right there just, I mean, again, Trevor, what was bad? Yeah, you know, North Dakota State, Dylan Radins. This one play was bad, but then all the other plays were bad too, even though he didn't give up sacks, so it's not very good. And the Titans can't have that. And they may be kicking themselves over Questenberry right now, honestly. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones. 615-737-1025. I did ask Trevor what they should do at right tackle. His answer... we'll get to that next. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those are my guys. I absolutely love Hiller. It is back to school season, and Hiller is giving you free backyard upgrades all month long to tackle those necessary home system replacements in August so you can take advantage of these special deals, like a free Yeti Tundra cooler with the purchase of a new tankless water heater, a free Traeger Wood pellet grill with the purchase of a new whole home generator, and also Hiller is keeping you cool for back to school with special limited time financing promotions on HVAC replacements. Get 0% interest financing for up to 12 months on select new HVAC systems. There's no better time to make your family comfortable for the last bit of warm weather before things get cold. Hiller's work is backed by the Happy You'll Be Your Services Free Guarantee. And I can back that up because I've been using Hiller at my home for years. Those are my guys. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of the Nashville Predators, the Tennessee Volunteers, and the Vanderbilt Commodores. Hiller! Call the Happy Face Truck today. If John Robinson asked you, Trevor, you played in the league, you've played offensive line, you've got all that experience, do I need to be looking for a veteran tackle that may be able to come in here and start in a pinch at right tackle, what would you say to him after what you saw last
night? Yeah, my sense is that he is scouring rosters for potential cuts on the last day, and that he thinks that, this is my sense, that he thinks that their starting right tackle is not on the roster right now. And that's why it surprises me that they didn't address this in free agency before training camp started, for goodness sake. Now, Petit Frere is the leader in the clubhouse in my position, and in my opinion, at that position. But if I'm John Robinson, I'm thinking I got to count on Petit Frere, or I got to bring in somebody that somebody else didn't want to keep as my best option at right tackle. Now, the good news is the right tackle doesn't have to be a superstar. He has to be serviceable. But serviceable first means he has to be a run blocker to the degree that he won't get tossed, that his man isn't standing at the point of attack unblocked, and Derrick Henry has to run through that guy every time. So it's better if you have a big old road grader over there. But if you got a guy that can just keep his feet, then at least Henry has a chance to run through arm tackles.
Trevor Maddich on the program on Friday, and you heard it right there. You know, he When he says, this is my sense of what they're doing, that is what I would do.
This is my opinion.
Yeah, what I would do, and Trevor's telling you, what I would do is I'd be looking at every team in the league, and I'd be looking at what tackles might get cut, what team might cut a tackle that is not a real starting right tackle, but can start for me, like they've had the last 2 years with Dennis Kelly and David Questenberry. Now, we have talked a lot about how I watched the Colts play the Bills over the weekend. The Bills did not play a single starter. So when I saw that David Questenberry wasn't starting, because I assumed David Questenberry was not brought in to be the Bills starter. When I saw that David Questenberry wasn't starting, I got excited because I had this conspiracy theory that I was talking to people about at practice on Saturday, which was my conspiracy theory is the Titans are not going to do anything at the tackle position that makes it look like they're panicking. Because, again, the way Trevor said it right there was like, hey, man, like,
maybe
I'd be panicking
if I was hovering your hand over the panic button.
Right, but they don't want to do that. Right. And again, this is my conspiracy theory. The Titans don't want, because the two teams that have tackles that have played right tackle for the Titans over the last 2 years are Buffalo, AFC contender week two. Buffalo's not going to cut somebody if they think the Titans are going to claim them. And Indianapolis, who has Dennis Kelly, and if the Colts think that they're going to hand the Titans a right tackle, they're not going to cut that guy either. So I watched that Colts-Bills game to see where those guys were playing. Specifically, I think the door may be closed with Kelly, but not Questenberry. And so I saw Questenberry wasn't starting. So I got really excited that, oh, maybe Buffalo views him as like the fifth tackle, and they'll release him at the end, and then he'll get in there, and the Titans can just bring him back, and it'll be like he never left. And then I saw him on the sidelines in his pads and everything. Uh-huh. And they did something good, and he was standing, and he had a hat on, and he was cheering. And I was like, where is Questenberry on their depth chart? Because he's not playing in this game right now, and they got the second team out there, so is he a third-team guy? So I pulled up their unofficial depth chart, the Bills' unofficial depth chart.
First team.
Starting at right tackle.
Yep.
David Questenberry. And he's not playing in the preseason, which means David Questenberry is the starting right tackle of the Buffalo Bills. So they're not going to cut that guy. So obviously, swing and a miss there. Now, Bobby Hart.
I know that name.
Bobby Hart was playing tackle, I believe right tackle, for the Bills. I believe Bobby Hart was playing right tackle for the Bills on Saturday. And I don't know how many tackles they're going to keep, but Bobby Hart was on the Bills practice squad, signed. Or maybe he wasn't on the Bills practice squad. He ended up on the Titans practice squad last year. They had injuries on the offensive line. They called Bobby Hart up. Bobby Hart, I believe, started ahead of Raiders for that Sunday night football game against the Rams, if I'm not mistaken. And then Bobby Hart was cut, and the Bills took Bobby Hart, and they had Bobby Hart. So maybe if Buffalo's not going to cut Questenberry, maybe they cut Bobby Hart, and Bobby Hart could come in here and play right tackle for the Titans. That's my thought.
You know what the most frustrating thing about all of this is? And I know I'm crying over spilled milk here.
That they had no business drafting Raiders in the second round, and they did.
That, and was this not a problem a couple months ago?
So remember when
we're not going to address the right tackle position in the draft or in free agency or any other time before this, before you're in an absolute pickle. When you either have to throw someone out there who's not ready or someone that you picked up a month before the season.
Off-season plan, like right before free agency, and there was a tackle that last year had signed to be a backup for the Jets, and he ended up starting 16 of the 17 games because Mekhi Becton, their tackle, got hurt, and he ended up playing every game by the name of Morgan Moses. And I think I was willing to offer Morgan Moses something like 3 years and $20 million to come in here and just play right tackle. He's not going to be a good right tackle, but he's going to start at right tackle for the next 3 years. I think 7 years in the league, he's averaged 16 starts a year for Washington and the Jets. So I know basically I can sign Morgan Moses, stick him at right tackle, and not have
and
to worry
about
it. I do believe that Morgan Moses sat out there in free agency for a couple of days. And I think I was willing to give him like $20 million or $25 million over 3 years. I want to say he got like $12 million over 3 years or $15 million over 3 years.
15 over 3 years with the Ravens.
I mean, seriously? They couldn't have just made all this go away.
That is a bargain pickup.
Just
there.
Make this all go away for $15 million and just put him out there. They also had the opportunity to bring back Dennis Kelly. They could have brought back David Questenberry on a $2.2 million tender as a restricted free agent. They chose not to do that.
And all of that is just such easy insurance. And what it told me was Dylan Raiden's is ready to be the starting right tackle. But that's not the case. So that's the frustrating thing about all of this is there are so many possible fixes or insurance policies that the Titans could have pulled out the right tackle position and they didn't.
Then again,
and here we are at August 15th.
Then again, the Titans have swung and missed at right tackle in each of the last two drafts prior to this one. We don't know if Petit Frere will make it or not. But they figured it out. Taylor Lewan tore his ACL and they figured it out.
I want to get to a point where the Titans no longer have to just figure it out.
I know, but I think the way they value the team is that they don't look at the right tackle as a position of premium need. Even though they have used high picks on tackles, I think they think that they can just figure it out.
Doesn't that sound kind of crazy?
I mean, it's tough because John Robinson's first draft pick as general manager was Jack Conklin. That's premium right tackle.
Right.
But then they didn't keep Jack Conklin, but that was a complicated situation. And I believe that they would have had interest in keeping Conklin 3 days before free agency when the NFL and the PA agreed that they could only use one tag instead of two. And I think there was a chance that they would have franchise tagged Conklin and transitioned to Henry. But we'll never know what their actual plan was going to be. Then they play Kelly there. And Kelly was fine, but they drafted Isaiah Wilson. So obviously, premium position of need, right tackle. Isaiah Wilson went off the reservation. Kelly was fine. Then they released Kelly because he's old. And so they go out and they draft Raidens. He's no good. They signed Kendall Lamb. He sucks too. So then they play Questenberry. Well, then they let him go, and they still don't have an answer at right tackle. It is pretty disappointing.
Just continue to make things more difficult for themselves at that position.
The thing I would say, though, is like right now, they can't worry about it like that. Like they can't get mad at themselves for what they didn't do.
I know they can't, but I can.
Man, I'll let it go into the season. They've fixed the right tackle and left tackle on the fly each of the last 2 years, and they haven't had horrendous problems with it. Then again, they went into the season with Jameel Douglas at right guard 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and that was an abomination. So it's probably the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But I'm not panicking about right tackle, but I'm not happy about right tackle either. 615-737-1025 and your phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Again, Trevor says they'll scour the other rosters. We'll see. Adam in Portland's been waiting patiently. Adam, go ahead.
Hey, so they're treating it. Number one, I think right tackle this year is like tight end last year. Like, they just don't care. That's why it's so ugly right now. We all saw it coming. Like, that's going to be a problem. Why are you not doing anything? It's the same thing, man. But you give up Dennis Kelly and you bring in Kendall Lamb, you need to have a really good offensive line coach for that, don't you think? Like, we would have all these seventh-round draft picks, Jared, back on our Titans, right? We would have all these seventh-round draft picks. Going to Pro Bowl every year because we had Mike Munchak. Nobody talks about Keith Carter, dude. This guy sucks. Like, he's not progressing. I don't think he could have saved Isaiah Wilson, but, like, you're almost forced to stick with Dylan Raiden. And I was listening to your draft night when they drafted him, and it was like a run on tackles. And every pick come in, you'd go, who was that? Who was that? And that was just the same feeling for everybody, man. Like, he was supposed to be a safe pick because you messed up Isaiah Wilson, and now that whole position's just shot.
So I don't know where you came up with the safe pick thing from, and I appreciate your call, Adam. I don't know where you came up with the safe pick thing from.
I freaking Raiden's was the exact opposite of a safe pick
when they drafted.
He didn't
Raiden's.
Even play football that year.
R.I.P. to
for
Mark
an FCS school.
Because I remember when they picked that, and I lost my freaking cannons over it. So, but that doesn't mean that I knew that Raiden's would be this bad. I had no idea, but I had just never heard of the guy. So I was like, why are they drafting some tackle I've never heard of in the second round? I do not think that right tackle this year is like tight end last year. Simply because right tackle, here's my theory, right tackle this year is like right tackle last year. They and didn't have true. A right tackle last year. And then they
but
just,
now you're Questenberry-less.
They just, I know, we complained that they didn't have a right tackle last year, and they really didn't. And then they have less of a right tackle this year, unless Petit Frere is the guy. But again, Trevor said that he thinks that Petit Frere showed nice things, but that he thinks John Robinson, his sense is that John Robinson is currently scouring other rosters to find who may get cut to come in here and play right tackle, which to me, Bobby Hart. Get excited for Bobby Hart.
I'll take it.
I don't know. I was trying to keep track of Indy. I think Kelly's on the second team offensive line. They already have, you know, well, the left tackle, they're playing a guy who was their swing tackle, I believe, at left tackle. Mm-hmm. They do have Braden Smith at right tackle. Indianapolis does. If they cut Kelly, could they bring Dennis Kelly back? I don't know. They've had no interest in bringing Dennis Kelly back in the past, but I'll keep my eyes on that.
Is this a different situation?
Well, they don't have anybody right now.
Right.
But then again, they didn't have anybody last year. They thought they had Kendall Lamb. He stinks. Well, they've got to figure out. Now, this is something
they have bodies. You just don't know if they're solid starting right tackles in the NFL.
This is the serious thing. And Adam brought up Keith Carter, Coach Turbo. And
Turbo.
I have consistently harbored my opinions about Keith Carter. And then every time I do, Derrick Henry turns around and runs for 800 yards. And Keith Carter and I used to live in the same neighborhood. So make of that what you will. But I do want the offensive line coaching and evaluating to get better. I don't know how they do this with the scouts. Normally, the scouts are area scouts. So the scout is the one who has to determine if your area is, say, the Florida schools. Then that scout has to determine who's better, the middle linebacker at UCF or the right tackle at USF.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever's evaluating offensive linemen for this team freaking stinks. I mean, the whole thing is freaking a gong show. Outside of Nate Davis and Conklin, they have not drafted a single offensive lineman worth a crap. Like, one crap. And it is getting disappointing to bust on Wilson and bust on Raidens. And Joe's getting all mad because I think Raidens is a bust. And he's like, oh, you know, it's too early for that. And he's getting opportunities and you got to give it time to... Did we not give him time last year? Like, this is the NFL.
But
he's halfway through his career with the Titans. You signed a 4-year deal.
He's not halfway through.
No.
He's going into year two.
No. That, and if he can't start year two,
then yes, then it's halfway done. Halfway through. If he cannot get on the field and if he cannot start, which seems like that is the likely thing, then yes.
If he can't start during the season, he's not going to start on October 8th. He's not going to start on December 12th. He's not going to just magically figure it out. If he can't get on the field after a whole year, had a training camp with the team last year, had a whole season of every day at practice getting reps, had a whole offseason of getting reps in practice and working with the coaches in the classroom and working in the weight room with their strength coaches, basically is gifted the right tackle position. It's yours to lose, and he can't win it. That's like Sam Darnold. I mean, I feel bad for Sam Darnold because I think the Jets ruined him. But if you can't win in New York, you can't do anything in New York. They ship you out as soon as they can. Carolina trades real assets for you. They pick up Sam Darnold, and all of a sudden, after 1 year, half of 1 year, they're back to Cam Newton, and then they're spending the whole offseason looking for Baker Mayfield. Matt Rhule can tell me all he wants that that's a quarterback competition. It's not.
It's not.
It's not.
You don't bring in Baker Mayfield if you intend for him to compete.
If Dylan Raidens cannot start this year, then he's a bust. And that's just where I'm fine with it because I thought he was a bust last year, and everyone went, oh, it's too early. Well,
I think it's too early.
As Yogi Berra used to say, it gets late early. And it is getting late for old Dylan. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones on this next. 615-737-1025. And I've texted Trevor. So we have a little update thought from Trevor. So we'll, I guess, go through that as well. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
Raidens, did he kind of show that growth that you guys have seen since the spring? Did it translate into the game?
Yeah, I mean, Dylan played hard. You know, he played physical and with good effort and finish, and we expect that of him, especially a guy in his second year. You know, he and Brew and Corey, those guys that were out there that, you know, know our style of football, we expect there to be a consistency there, and we expect them to be leaders when it comes to play demeanor. So Dylan did some good things and look forward to him continuing to grow.
I feel like Todd Downing's kind of like Frank Reich. He never says anything bad about anybody. It's
no,
like I have to talk
really.
Because the league makes me talk. So I have to talk because Vrabel doesn't want me to talk, and I don't want to talk. But I'll talk because the league makes me. So let me say positive things about everybody because everybody else, in reference to Raidens on Thursday night, did not say the things that Todd Downing said in that cut.
Well, what good does it do for Todd Downing to come out and say, look, we were not pleased with Dylan Raidens. He's not very good.
Nothing. Especially if my conspiracy theory is true, that the Titans are hopeful that either Dennis Kelly or Bobby Hart, originally it was Questenberry, but if he's going to start for the Bills, then that's not going to matter. I'll say this. if David Questenberry is starting for the Bills and the Titans didn't tender Questenberry for $2.2 million and the Titans play the Bills in week 2, Harold Landry better smoke that rear end.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, he better smoke that rear end. Like, that better be, he better crush him. Thought or phones?
Phones.
AG's up next here on Stillman & Company. Go ahead, AG.
Hey, Jerry, I would love to see you as a head coach because I think you and your players get to fight like on TV though for real. And man, you like one of the best reporters in Nashville, man. Up until this preseason game, I'm talking about I was just seeing Jerry Fields, and then you just get all pessimistic on me. And then
pessimistic about what? Say,
man, you got me all down on my boys, man. You got to rally the troops, man. We're going to go into week 1 in a couple more weeks.
Well,
but
I mean,
what I got,
go ahead,
what I caught about, though, what I caught about is, man, we got to be patient with the players, man. We can't, because I was just talking to my brother that has the phone about the guard that you was all down on 2 years ago. I think his name was Carter. He would get pushed around. He was down.
AG.
AG.
I love you. AG, I love you. I can't understand a single word that you're saying. I think it's your phone. But I do appreciate your call, and I do appreciate you. But I could not understand a single word that AG just said right there.
All I heard was you guard. Got me down on my boys.
Well, he said that he was talking to Ian
about the guard
so
position.
What was your discussion with AG to relay that to us?
From what I could figure out is, we had similar conversations. Raiden's a little bit longer. Well, Nate Davis, when he first came in, it took him a few weeks to kind of get going, a good 6 weeks. And for the first 6 weeks, he really wasn't doing much. And then he, about, what was it, 6 weeks in? And now he's been pretty good ever since.
Here's what I remember
but
Nate
Dylan
Davis.
But Dylan Raiden has already had 6 weeks.
Yeah, here's what I remember Nate Davis. Nate Davis was competing for the right guard spot with a guy by the name of Kevin Pamphile. And Pamphile, who had been hurt for pretty much the entire season the year before, got hurt right at the end of training camp. Davis got hurt like the first day of training camp and basically didn't practice all of camp. And so Nate Davis got hurt. Kevin Pamphile got hurt. The Titans had to run out there, Jameel Douglas, and he was terrible. He was good in the first game, got a game ball in the first game. But then after that, Denico Autry abused him in the Colts game, and Calais Campbell just bent him over his knee in the Jags game. And then that Denver game, everybody played poorly, and it was really, really bad. The line as a whole for the first month of that season was really, really bad. Nate Davis got in there the third game of the year against the Falcons, which means that he played in that Denver game. Now, I don't remember it specifically, but once Ryan Tannehill came in at quarterback, everybody played better, including the line. Now, the first 4 games of that season, Taylor Lewan was out with a PED suspension, and I believe Jack Conklin was coming off of a torn ACL. So it was a whole mess. It was a whole mess on the line. And remember, I asked Vrabel about Keith Carter because the line was so terrible. I asked Vrabel about Keith Carter, and Vrabel said, no, basically asked me to go fire him. And Vrabel was like, no. Like, I think he's doing a good job. I see him every day. I see how he interacts with the players. I believe in him. Then Derrick Henry won the rushing title, and everyone's like, what do you think about Keith Carter now? Then COVID happened. I found out we live in the same neighborhood. And so, I don't know. Like, I guess I'm kind of indifferent on Keith Carter. Certainly don't think he's Mike Munchak. But my biggest problem is, why every freaking year do we have to have the same discussions about the Titans have a right tackle? They have not had a starting right tackle for 3 years. And every time they go out and get somebody, whether it's Kendall Lamb or Isaiah Wilson or Dylan Raidens, the guy they get freaking sucks.
But why didn't they do anything this year is my question. I understand Nicholas Petit-Frere, but are you really going to look at a third-round left tackle and say that was the Titans really doing something about right tackle?
Nate Davis was a third-round guard when they didn't have a guard. I remember that draft like it was yesterday. We went in day 2, the Titans drafted
but
Jeffrey
guard
Simmons.
Guard is not right tackle.
I know, but the Titans went into day 2. They drafted Jeffrey Simmons in the first round. They go into day 2. And Floyder the whole day kept talking about how they have to draft a guard. And I, to that point, was like, well, it's guard. I mean, you know, who cares about guard? And it was not a discussion. That it was not, it was,
not
they
argue
need,
with that.
They need a guard. And every time, Cody Ford, who I don't think has done a good job with the Bills, Cody Ford went off the board. McCoy to the Saints went off the board. And when those picks went off ahead of the Titans, every time he had his notebook and it was like, ah, God. You know, every time one of those interior offensive linemen went off the board, they pick in the second round at 51. They draft A.J. Brown. The Titans did not need a wide receiver because, as crazy as this sounds, at that time, we thought the wide receiver group was Corey Davis, Adam Humphries, and Taywan Taylor, which it's easy to laugh now about Taywan Taylor, but we did actually think that Taywan Taylor was a real football player at that point. So we didn't think they needed a wide receiver, just like we didn't think they needed a corner when they drafted Roger McCreary in the second round this year. It's like, what? And obviously it was a good idea to draft AJ. Then they drafted the guard in the third round. Maybe that was their theory on the tackle position, but just their actions tell me that they truly believed that Dylan Raidens could be the right tackle of the Tennessee Titans. What do we have in the text line?
Jeff texts in and says, why are we always in this needy position in the O-line every year? Because everyone is always infatuated with getting another receiver, and here we are again.
Always. Every year with the Titans over the last 3 years. But you can't say that it's not like the Titans haven't tried. They drafted Isaiah Wilson in the first round.
Bust.
They signed Kendall Lamb last year.
Didn't work out.
And not only that, it was obvious to me the second day of practice with no pads, I turned to Joe. And I was watching Raidens and Lamb get smoked. And I turned to Joe, and I'm like, these guys suck. And Joe was like, oh, I made it second day. They don't have any pads on. And then immediately Jim Wyatt asked Vrabel about the right tackle position. And Ty Sambrylo was on the pup list. And Vrabel was like, well, you know, when we get Ty off the pup list, you know, that'll be good. And he'll come in here and he'll compete. And so when we get Ty, that'll be good. And it was like pretty obvious for Vrabel, a guy who never talked about injured players, to be talking about, Lord, I can't wait till I get this injured player back. That was pretty telling that Vrabel thought those guys stunk. And then the fact that he never played them, I think also kind of led us to believe that they never, that all those guys stunk. So make of that what you will.
It's so frustrating, though. This is, it feels like Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Well,
the right tackle talk. Well, and I've only been here for a year.
This is a 3 year thing, and you've only been here for half of it.
And I'm already sick of it.
So they scrimmage with Tampa Bay this week. We'll see how that goes.
Tease and
615-737-1025. We'll get to more of your phones. And one NFL team that I was ruling out, I've ruled out all offseason. Got to put some respect on that name. We'll get to that coming up. Stillman and Company. Hey, join 102.5 The Game at the 9th Annual Brentwood Battle of the Badges Blood Drive this Wednesday from noon to 2. The Red Cross is an emergent? Is that a word? I mean, like emergency?
No, emergent is a word. Or emergence.
Emergent.
Emergent's a word.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard of urgent. I know what an emergency is.
Is it E-M-E-R-G-E-N-T?
Yeah.
Emergent, yeah.
I've never used that word before. And like, well, I feel like I have a pretty solid, I feel like I have a pretty solid, like, you know, I did wordly wise.
You could
wise
say Nicholas Petit Frere has been emergent in the right tackle competition.
No, that's emerging.
No. Well, he is emerging. Right. Has been emergent.
No, this it's emergent.
Is that an adverb?
In the process of coming into being or becoming prominent.
Yeah.
Emergent.
He has been emergent.
So then I don't think this is the right case. This is the right use of emergent. That's why I was kind of like, again, you know, they
Can
had
I read it?
Yeah. Just read it for the people.
All right.
It feels like it's emergency.
Oh, an urgent need of
that's
blood.
What I'm okay, saying. Yeah, right. That's what I think that lines. Just read it for the people.
Join 102.5 The Game at the 9th Annual Brentwood Battle of the Badges Blood Drive this Wednesday from noon to 2 p.m. The Red Cross is in an urgent need of blood. Every 2 seconds, someone needs blood. Join us, Brentwood Fire and Police, the Williamson County Sheriff's Office, and the Fraternal Order of the Police for the 9th Annual Brentwood Battle of the Badges Blood Drive this Wednesday, going on until 6 p.m. at the Brentwood Concord Road Library.
Pickens is awesome. Mm-hmm. And he glides.
Yeah.
He runs right by people. And when did they draft him?
Second round.
How'd he fall to the second round? Because, 11 wide receivers or something like that won in the first round? How many wide receivers won in the first round? I think 11. Remember the Cardinals, yes. Wherever they were sitting, they said they liked seven, eight, I forget how many wide receivers it was. We like this many wide receivers, but we don't think any of them will be around by the time we get up to draft. So they actually send their pick to Baltimore to get Hollywood because they wanted Pickens was sitting right there.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
Could have got Pickens.
Could have gone.
What are Steve Kime and Cliff Kingsbury doing?
Good question.
Steelers know how to draft wide receivers. We watched them make a hell of a diving catch in the national championship last year.
Of course we did.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Because he played for
Georgia.
Yes, he did.
That's why he was born a dog. He was raised a dog. He's always going to be a dog.
Yeah, he's a guy.
That was the Pat McAfee Show today. I would like to apologize to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We have written off the Pittsburgh Steelers all offseason long. We have said, AFC contender, Steelers, no. Ben's out. I sat down on Saturday night to watch the Seahawks and the Steelers, primarily for some reason, because I wanted to see the Seahawks quarterback battle. I guess any team that has Mitch Trubisky at quarterback, I just don't take seriously. Pickens is.
Pickett.
A bad boy. No, Pickens.
Oh, George Pickens?
Bad boy.
I think we all knew that, no?
Bad boy. Well, I mean, the Green Bay Packers need to take their heads out of their rear ends after they drafted two defensive players in the first round with Pickens sitting there on the board. I mean, Mason Rudolph threw the most pinpoint ball into the corner of the end zone. So if you were to ask Mason Rudolph to throw the ball right to the back pylon where only the receiver can get it, he put it there, and George Pickens made the most beautiful catch in the end zone for a touchdown in that game. Trubisky, who started as soon as the game began, right to Pickens. Like, he is the Steelers. Kevin Colbert, the general manager there for forever, who retired at the end of the draft. Kevin Colbert is the guy who drafted Juju Smith-Schuster in the second round, Chase Claypool in the second round, Deontay Johnson in the third round, Antonio Brown in the sixth round, Mike Wallace in the third round. Like, the Steelers for years, how bad Floyd was at drafting wide receivers when he was here, Kevin Colbert has been the opposite of that during roughly the same time period with the Steelers. He just drafts amazing wide receivers. And it's like he left them with, like, the next great receiver for the Steelers, not in the first round, with George Pickens. Now, Trubisky, I thought he looked pretty good. Rudolph, I thought he looked pretty good. Pickett, who played in the second half, I thought he looked pretty good. And unlike Vrabel, who just said, all right, Malik, go get him, and maybe that put Malik in a tough spot, I thought Tomlin set Pickett up for success by waiting to play him until the second half, and he had easy short throws to complete, and he scores a touchdown right away on the third team defense for the Seahawks, and that's why waiting till the second half was, I think, important for Tomlin to do that. And now Kenny Pickett's got all the confidence in the world. Trubisky's going to win that job. Rudolph is apparently having a great camp, and just watching the game, and I know it's a preseason game, and I know the Seahawks kind of stink, but watching that preseason game, they felt like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, just watching it, maybe it was because it was in Pittsburgh, maybe it was, and I've been talking about this all week and all weekend, which is maybe Ben at this point in his career was holding the team back.
I mean, I don't think that's the craziest take in the world.
And like Tomlin?
I mean, Ben was almost like a cement statue out there.
I think Tomlin is happy to see Ben gone. I think Tomlin is happy to see Le'Veon Bell gone. I think he's happy to see Antonio Brown gone.
Juju Smith-Schuster
and his TikToks. I think he's glad to see them gone. And Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. And every year, even when they don't make the playoffs, the Steelers are in the discussion for the playoffs. The Steelers last year had no business making the playoffs last season. And I just think it's something about Tomlin and that organization. And I had totally written it off and said, look, in a division with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and maybe Deshaun Watson, there's no way that the Steelers are going to be able, with Mitch Trubisky and kind of a rebuilding team, there's no way the Steelers, now they still got offensive line questions, but there is no way to say that the Steelers can compete this year, especially in an AFC where Russell Wilson is now in the conference and all these young quarterbacks are emerging and everything else. And now, I watched the Steelers on Saturday. I think it was disrespectful to Mike Tomlin for me to not at least discuss the possibility of the Steelers having a good team this year. I like the Steelers. I would say that there were kind of three teams that I maybe changed my opinion on a little bit after week one of the preseason. Number one,
Indeed.
San Francisco.
Ah.
Because Trey Lance is a freaking G. Like, that guy, he is a baller. And I listened to an interview that John Lynch did on Friday, or maybe Thursday, and they played on Friday. And John Lynch was talking about how Trey's the guy, and now it's up to him to show the team why everybody believes in him, and he'll do that, and we believe in him, and everything else. Friday, I watched Trey Lance get out there. He's got the size. He's got the athleticism. He operated the game very well. They ran the football effectively. He threw short well. He ran the ball and slid. Good decision making. And then he uncorked a rocket down the sidelines for a touchdown. And so it reminds me so much of what Kansas City did with Mahomes and how they brought him along slowly. You know, they drafted him. They used two first-round picks to get Mahomes. San Francisco used three to get Lance. They sat him on the bench for a year, just like Mahomes. They immediately, as soon as the season was over, they had a good team, just like Kansas City. As soon as the season was over, they moved right off that average starter, just like Kansas City did with Alex Smith, and said, it's your team. And right away, Mahomes was throwing the ball up and down the field. And Mahomes, to his credit and to Andy Reid's credit, had a bunch of good receivers that they were able to do this with. Well, Trey Lance is going to walk in and have Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle and a good run game, and I think Trey Lance is that dude. So San Francisco and Pittsburgh, I definitely feel better about. I think San Francisco, after watching Trey Lance this Friday night, I think San Francisco is a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Pittsburgh, I'm not willing to go there yet. But at plus 7,000, I feel pretty good about, you know, the Steelers and that they're going to be better than we all make them out to be, because now Tomlin kind of has his team back and he doesn't have to deal with all the drama, Ben and everybody else. And then the Colts are the team I feel bad about.
Do we feel any better? Because we've talked so much about the difference of schedule between the Titans and the Colts, and I do still think that that's very much so a legitimate conversation to have.
To your point, I feel worse about the Patriots. So even though I feel better about the Steelers, all the nonsense we hear about how bad this Patriots offensive thing's going, the Colts have to play the Patriots, and it sounds like the Patriots are not going to be very good this year.
But the Colts also have to play the Steelers.
I know.
And still get Joe Burrow, and that's still a more difficult game.
I mean, I'm not saying that Pittsburgh's better than Cincinnati, but let's not count out Tomlin. Let's not, hey, my bad, Mike, showing disrespect to Mike Tomlin. Boy, I liked what I saw from the Steelers. 615-737-1025. An NFL general manager, a former general manager, breaks down Malik Willis, what he thought of Willis's performance Thursday night. And let me say this. I think Titan fans might like what they hear. We'll do that next. Don't Win a Company, 1025-1063 The Game.